Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In recent weeks, this term loud budgeting has made its way into the mainstream conversation. So which camp are you in, shouting loudly about your money goals, or would you rather keep them very quietly to yourself? I think we need to talk about it. Hey, welcome to Everyone's Talking Money. I am your host, Shauna Game. This is a show where we talk about all of those emotions around money so you can really unfuck your relationship with money and finally reach your goals. Yes, I said it. Unfuck your relationship with money. That is what we are here to do. But before we get into today's episode, I just want to let you know that I have got some good money resources available on the Everyone's Talking Money website. You can go to everyonestalkingmoney.com or just head to the show notes. All the links will be there. You can also read the transcript for every episode, and fingers crossed, come March 2024, all episodes will be available on YouTube for you to watch. I say that with a big gulp because mastering YouTube is a beast, but I'm going to practice what I preach, which is just to take a step forward. I have been recording the video of all of the interview episodes for well over a year now, and I just have those kind of like in a little archive just off to the side. So if you have been wanting to actually watch what we're talking about, stay tuned. If you want to come over and subscribe before we go live, I will have the YouTube link in the show notes. So you can come over, subscribe, and make sure you don't miss any of those episodes once they go live. It is Friday, and typically I answer and ask Sean a question, but this week something came to my attention that I thought we should just talk about instead. So many of you have sent in questions about budgeting. How do you do it? How do you make it work? How do you stay consistent? And so many questions about how to manage the very real fears and emotions around budgeting. We've done so many different episodes on budgeting, probably hundreds over the last 9 years. And the reason I think that you just want more and more and more is because it's a very tricky thing and it's very emotional. And you don't often think about the emotions that are going on when you are going through the act of budgeting. So it's this idea of what if you go over budget and somebody knows about it or judges you or shames you for how you spend your money? That's what our brain is thinking, right? And it's producing this very strong emotion in us, right? This absolutely, I want to do everything except budget or look at my money. But the funny thing about that is nobody is actually going to look at your bank statements. Nobody is actually going to look at your budget. The only person that's looking at those numbers is you. And I don't know, maybe you have a partner and you're sharing that as well, but you're not public displaying any of this information on like a very, you know, big screen at a sporting event. Like this is staying very private. But it doesn't mean that these emotions aren't at play and running just crazy kind of in the background and getting in the way of this whole process. Because the only reason that you do budgeting or spending plans, as I like to call them, is really because you have things that you want to do with your money. And this is just the mechanism to help you do that. And when you create a spending plan, you can put all these things on automation. So your investing automatically happens. If you're paying down debt, that automatically happens. Like all of these things automatically happen in the background. But you need the plan in place to know what you're doing. And I say it's like a GPS system, something that you'll understand. If you were trying to get in the car and drive somewhere, most of us don't use maps anymore. We just let our GPS tell us where to go. But we have to put an input in. We have to let it know where we want to go. If we don't put an input in, obviously it can't take us to that place. So the same sort of thing when it comes to your money. So all of you that have sent in messages about your fears and your anxiety and your stress when it comes to budgeting, I'm glad you feel safe enough to share those thoughts with me, because money is emotional. And in everyday society, it doesn't feel safe to talk about those emotions. Maybe you don't even know what those emotions are, or maybe you don't even correlate those feelings you have with the underlying cause, which is money. And money is it's a vital need. You need it, like you need air and water. And as much as we want to say money doesn't matter, I think we have to step back and kind of, I don't know, pull that saying apart, because it does matter in a way, because it's how we live our life. It's how we afford to keep shelter and buy food and buy water and all of those sorts of things. But yes, it doesn't ultimately lead to happiness. So there's this interesting intersection in your brain that you kind of have to get to. But what's in there and clouding it all up are the emotions around money and the gunk that has been there since childhood and the things you believe to be true, the things about you that you believe to be true. It gets really mucky. So that brings us to this idea, the topic for this episode on loud budgeting. It's a very catchy phrase, but what does it mean? And will it actually work for you? If you haven't been following, there is a 26-year-old comedian named Lucas Battle coined the term loud budgeting in December in a TikTok video, and he had just this night of completely overspending, which is something we can all relate to, right? We've all been there. We might have done that today or sometime this week. It just happens. Well, his friends asked him to go out on, you know, this like extravagant meal. And he suggested, hey, why don't we all cook at someone's house to save money? His video, of course, went viral, and so many others have shared stories of how loud budgeting, about spending money, and just budgeting in general, have helped them reach their money goals. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about this, and Lucas said, "People want a break or some sort of relief from this constant need to be spending and buying." And I get it. It's sometimes overwhelming, right? It's you have to spend money on so many different things. And then there's this social pressure. Certainly, I know at younger ages, there's definitely a social pressure to go out and spend money and go to happy hours and go to dinner. And if you're living very close to the edge, like, you know, you need all the money that you make every month, it becomes this dilemma of, well, do I go out with my friends and spend money that I don't really think I should be spending, or do I stay home and then I'm not out with my friends? And obviously, most of us choose to go out with our friends and spend money, and then you feel guilty or shameful about it. And it's just something that perpetuates all of these very real and scary emotions around money. I know myself, I'm in my 40s, and I still feel that pressure. I've only lived where I live now for a couple of years, and I want to go out and I want to do all the things. But every time I go out to dinner, it's like another 50, 60 bucks just for myself. And that really starts to add up. And it's hard for me to get around the emotions of money, of feeling guilty, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have gone out, or maybe I shouldn't have gone to this event and spent this much money. And then I think about, well, otherwise I'd probably just be sitting on my couch and watching reruns or the new season at Married at First Sight, which really isn't doing anything for my intellectual abilities. But nonetheless, you get where I'm going, right? So Lucas was like, okay, this is ridiculous. We need some sort of break from this constant need to be spending and buying. And I think this is this status thing that we all have, that if we're not doing things or buying things, somehow our friends or our family or society will look at us like, maybe you can fill in the word that's appropriate for you. I think of it as failure of not, I don't know, not being at the place in life where I should be. And the kicker is, like, who really cares? Other than you, they're not living your life. So if you want to know my opinion, I actually am a fan of this idea of loud budgeting. For one, it's taking money out of the shadows and away from the shame and saying, this thing that I'm saving money for is actually a priority in my life. And that's a good thing. But for so many of us, this is much easier said than it is done. So I after I read these articles, I thought, okay, let me do a little experiment. I polled a few of my friends and I asked them what they think about this idea of loud budgeting. And some of their answers were really fascinating to me. Let me share a couple of them with you. So my friend Mike said, I would be embarrassed to share that I was saving money or didn't have enough money to go out. I guess that's why I never have a ton of money left each month and why I'm not a lot closer to my goal of saving for a house. But I still feel, even as a grown-ass man, that my friends would look at me strangely if I chose my budget over going out for drinks or meeting them at a concert. So I think so many of us can relate to Mike. We feel the same thing. Like, what is the other person going to think of me if I choose my goal of saving for a house over the present moment of going out and having fun with my friends? My friend Amy said, I'm always the friend suggesting we do something more affordable, so I think most of my friends just expect that from me now. It's almost boring for them. But I'm always like, why do I need to spend $50 every time we go out to dinner? This is crazy. Do you know how much our extra $50 could become if we invested it? But then I sound like the boring friend, so I just can't seem to find the balance. I love this. If you knew my friend Amy, you would absolutely love this response too. So we've got two different sides of the fence here, and I wasn't expecting either of these people to say what they said to me after I asked them about this idea, but yeah, it's like you're the boring friend because you're choosing to put your money towards a goal, or you're the boring friend because you're always suggesting to do something more affordable, which brings me back to like this hypothesis of why does you choosing to do something affordable or you choosing to focus on a goal, why does that have to equal that you are the boring friend? Why can't that equal that you are actually like the smart, very genius friend who is making really conscious, intentional decisions with your money? Why can't we just switch that narrative? So then I went and I asked my friends Ben and Sadie, who are married, and they said, oh, we really like this. I hate going out and then not getting good service, or the meal isn't that great, and then we've just blown our eating out budget. I mean, why don't we do things in a more economical way? That really makes a ton of sense. And then probably why you're always talking to us about being mindful of money, now it probably makes sense. Like, I think it just clicked for us. I like that. Yes, I am probably the friend who is always the one, you know, telling all my friends to be mindful and intentional with their money and trying to figure out that balance between quote unquote boring friend and quote unquote fun friend who likes to go out. And it's, you know, it's a tough thing to balance, I think. But I'm a work in progress. Let's just say that. Life does not happen bi-weekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie, or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin, money, under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
This idea of loud budgeting, it's that neurochemically speaking, your brain is more likely to follow through on your money goals when you actually vocalize them. Let's look at what the science says about goals, goal setting, and you speaking your goals. There was a recent article in ICS Learn. I will link all of these things I talk about in the show notes, but it says, the science of setting goals is intimately tied up with the myriad complex ways that our brain works. Made up of 86 billion neurons, which are all constantly communicating with each other in complicated electrical circuits of information, we know a lot about how the brain works, but some processes are still a mystery. Creating emotional investment is one of the most important methods that the brain uses to help you work towards achieving goals. So, what I like that it's saying here, right, is this idea of being emotionally attached to speaking out loud or vocalizing or even writing out on a piece of paper what your goals are. So it tells your brain, oh, this is something that is important. Let me actually help you toward your goal versus telling you every negative thing that has ever happened, every goal that you've not actually achieved, right? Actually tearing you apart, right? But when we connect the emotion to it, our brain's like, oh, right. Okay, let me try to help you. So then it goes on to say that setting goals essentially works because it tricks our brain into feeling emotionally that we've actually already achieved the thing that we set out to. Confused? Good. This might be veering into Inception-style metaverse territory, but stay with us. Thinking in this way means that our brains feel we are personally invested in a project. In other words, we have an emotional connection to it. This makes us more motivated towards achieving it. In effect, we feel we have a stake in a goal and an interest in completing it, so we're more inclined to work towards it being achieved. So this just all correlates to this idea that the brain creates this emotional investment in a goal, right? And then formulates like a path to help you achieve it. And when your brain is like, oh, right, okay, yes, we're excited about this. We're excited that you are deciding not to go out to dinner and you are telling everybody that you're actually saving to buy that house. And that is actually the thing that right now just really lights you up and makes you so happy. And you're so excited that you're getting closer to that goal. That emotional connection with your brain is actually going to help you create behaviors that are going to reinforce you actually being able to achieve that goal, right? It's all very interconnected. It's interesting. Then there was an article in Inc. that talks about what goal setting does to your brain. I thought this was really interesting. It says, number one, the part of your brain that creates emotion evaluates the degree to which the goal is important to you. This is interesting, right? So if we set a goal that isn't actually important to us, our brain's like, okay, I can actually sense that. So we have to make sure that what we're loud budgeting about is something that we're deeply emotionally connected to. And then it says number two, the part of your brain that does problem solving, your frontal lobe, defines the specifics of what the goal entails. And then number three, the amygdala and frontal lobe, they work together to keep you focused on and moving towards situations and behaviors that lead to the achievement of the goal while simultaneously causing you to ignore and avoid situations and behaviors that don't. So when we put these things together, it's like the brain becomes our biggest cheerleader, helping us move forward towards this goal, but we have to have this emotional piece. And so I think when we come back and we talk this idea of loud budgeting, that's what that is. It's that idea that emotionally, I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to say I'm making intentional choices with my money. And all of that is me just emoting this emotion that I'm feeling about the things that I'm choosing instead of going out or instead of doing whatever with my money that is not moving me closer to my goal. So then the article goes on to say that this process sounds straightforward, like a computer program, but what actually is happening is more complex because your brain has something called neuroplasticity. Goal setting literally changes the structure of your brain so that it is optimized to achieve that goal. That is just kind of mind-blowing to me when I think about what is happening inside my brain and my body behind me actually setting and my ability to achieve these goals. Talking about money is hard. You know this already. All over the world, people are taught to never talk about money, politics, sex, or religion in polite company. On 50 Fires, a podcast about money and meeting from executive producers Chip and Joanna Gaines, host and financial conversationalist Carl Richards will remove money from that list by having frank, funny, and often difficult conversations about money, the kind we're all told not to have, with guests from all walks of life. In each episode, Carl will invite a new guest to answer the question, "What does money mean to you?" Their answers will reveal much more than their attitudes about money, spanning revelations about identity, community, faith, family, and the true meaning of wealth. Tune in to hear deep conversations about money and the meaning it holds in our lives. You can find 50 Fires on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Want to know the number one money question I'm asked? It's how to get started investing without being overwhelmed. So if you're asking yourself the same question, then you have to check out the Investing for Beginners podcast. The hosts, Dave and Andrew, they break down investment terms and strategies in a way you can finally understand. I love that they're making investing accessible, and they have an entire podcast dedicated to helping you invest better. Even if you're not ready to start investing, they explain the stock market and financial updates so you can really understand what is being said on the news. If you're ready to learn more about investing, I'd recommend you start with two of my favorite episodes. Listener Q&A, how do you start investing with $1,000, where they explain how you get started right away. And Back to Basics of Building Your Portfolio, where they explain how to build a portfolio from scratch. The Investing for Beginners podcast is a great way to start expanding your relationship with money. Find Investing for Beginners podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right. Daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts, and remember, stay safe.
Continuing down this path of our brains and this idea of loud budgeting, there was another article in Inc. that says that making goals is great, but you better not talk about them out loud. The researchers concluded that telling people what you want to achieve creates a premature sense of completeness. While you feel a sense of pride in letting people know what you intend to do, that pride doesn't motivate you and in fact can hurt you later on. It says when you write down or think about your intentions, there's a gap between where you are and where you want to be. The compelling need to close this gap helps you act on your intentions, but when you let others know about it, that gap closes because you, artificially, feel the same way you should after completing your intentions. So the main takeaway is this: you better off keeping your thoughts and plans to yourself if you want to get things done. And the next time you want to complete a goal, put your head down and get to it instead of telling everyone else around you. I think that's really interesting. So this is going against this idea of loud budgeting, that it could actually hurt you in the process of achieving your goals. And this is where it comes back to just knowing yourself and knowing what actually motivates you. So the science says, set goals, attach emotions to them. But in this article, it says, keep them to yourself. So should you be transparent with your money goals to everyone in your life? Again, I think it depends. It depends on your relationship with these people. It depends on the level of trust. And it also depends on their sense of judging you for the decisions that you make. And if you're somebody like myself, I really tend to let other people's emotions influence my emotions. And this is something I've been working on years in therapy. So this is probably going to take my whole life to figure this one out. But I know that if I vocalized my budgeting goals to certain people and they passed judgment on the choices I was making, I would probably go back and change my goals. And I just know that about myself. So I think you have to really know who you're talking to and if it's safe for you to express yourself in that way. And maybe the reason loud budgeting is so powerful is because money is already this taboo topic. So this idea of bringing your goals to light takes money out of the shadows, and it gives you back perhaps a sense of power and control that maybe you didn't feel before. So how do you adopt loud budgeting in your life in a way that really feels good to you? I think there's a couple of things to talk about. If you're going to get loud, you have to really know what your money goals are and how much you need to save or spend to reach them. So you have to understand the logistics part behind of this. Just saying, well, I'm not going to go out to dinner because I want to save that $50 because I've got things I want to do with your money is probably not the biggest emotional connection. So really understanding what your money goals are. What are the things that you want to achieve in the next 3 months, 6 months, year? Like, what are those things that you're actually practically working towards? And what's the cost of those? How much do you need to save each month? How much do you need to spend each month to reach those goals? So get really specific. Don't just say that you want to spend or save. Let's go with save. Let's say that you want to save $10,000. What does that mean each month? What does that mean each week? And what is that $10,000 going towards? Is it something, again, that you feel really emotionally connected to? So this means you're probably going to need to take a peek at your money situation from time to time. No, you do not need to obsessively look at your bank account every time you spend money, but you really do need to have a good sense of how your money flows and how much you're spending on what I call your blind spots. So we all have a blind spot, a certain thing that we spend money on, whether it's a guilty money splurge or just something we do where we convince ourselves that we're not spending as much as we are, but in actuality, we're usually spending more than we think. For a lot of us, that is eating out. I am probably in that camp as well, because it's easy to just go out to eat, spend money, spend more money, spend more money, and not really have a concept of how much you're spending. So this is where, yes, you do need it to dive into your numbers, particularly in these areas that are blind spots for you. We all have these money blind spots, and it doesn't mean that you're bad at money. It just means that you need to be aware of how much you're spending in that particular area, only for the sole purpose of you being able to maybe make a few more intentional choices and reroute some of that money that you would have spent in that blind spot towards one of these goals that you have. That's the only reason any of this matters. I'm just going to be really frank and honest with you. If you don't care, if you don't have things that you want to do, none of this really matters. Spend money however you want. But if you want to use some of your money to create the life you want to live, sometimes that means being intentional. Sometimes that means making alternate choices. And this comes back to this idea of loud budgeting. Maybe it is about you vocalizing certain things. Maybe that helps you stay more accountable. I don't know, just something to think about. And then I think also thinking about being okay with not reaching your money goals. So if I'm at loud budgeting and I'm out there and I'm telling everybody the choices that I'm making and why I'm not doing certain things, I also need to be okay with not reaching my money goals. I think this idea of perfectionism really needs to like fly away, especially money-centric idea of perfectionism. But teaching yourself and your friends that working towards a goal doesn't mean you're always going to reach it, and that always is okay. That is a permission slip for you to change your goals on the fly, or for you to say, well, I did my best, but you know, I've not reached that goal in the specific time that I wanted to, but that's okay. It's not a big deal. So focus on progress over perfection, but be okay vocalizing, if you like this concept, I should say, of loud budgeting, be okay vocalizing your goals and be okay with whatever twists and turns life takes, and maybe you achieve them, maybe you don't. Who knows, right? And then I think one of the potential outcomes of loud budgeting is becoming a quote-unquote better consumer. So I call this intentionality. Fill it in with whatever word you want. But it's this idea that you consciously are just spending better. You consciously spend more towards your goals and less because you need that solid dopamine hit of spending, but maybe loud budgeting makes you more accountable to yourself for the amount of money you're spending. Maybe if, let's say, shopping for clothes is your blind spot and you say, okay, I'm not going to go with my friends. I don't know who goes to the mall anymore, but let's just use this for an example. I'm not going to go with my friends out to the mall where I know I'm going to be really tempted to spend money that I either don't want to spend or I don't have to spend, whatever is kind of your option there. So I'm not going to put myself in that place because I know I'm going to be too tempted. And maybe that helps me become a better consumer. Maybe I don't need to just buy a whole lot more stuff. Maybe I can think about shopping from a different perspective. I don't know. The point is, I think that this whole idea of loud budgeting, it works to not only help you be more accountable, but also to help you be okay with talking about money, a subject that is already so laced with stigma and fear and shame and judgment and regret and all of those words. Maybe it takes some of that away, like some of the ammunition that is there. Maybe it removes some of that because you are making a choice that is different and you're being very vocal about it. And that's a very brave thing. It's very brave to make the choice and to say to your friends, I'm not going to go to dinner tonight because I am saving for a vacation that I've always wanted to go on, and that's just taking priority in my life. But wow, I don't know if you can feel it when I say those words, but that does give you a sense of power around money that I think for a lot of us, we don't feel on a day-to-day basis. I think for a lot of us, we feel like we're just kind of drug around by money, right? Like that it is just the anchor, and it's just pulling us mercilessly around every single day. So I'm a fan of this idea of loud budgeting. I think it has a time, and I think it has a place, and I think that it makes sense. And I think the reasoning behind it going viral on TikTok, and there are so many different articles about it, and so many people have been on the news talking about loud budgeting, is because it's so different from how we typically think about budgeting. We typically think about budgeting as this scary thing, like I talked about. We typically think of it as a judgment-based thing. And we also typically think of it as a very isolating experience. And so going vocal changes that whole dynamic. And I think that's really fascinating. Whether you adopt this practice or not, I think it just helps you think about really ultimately what role do you want money to play in your life and how do you want to talk about it. I always think that money is, this may be way out there for you to think about this, but this is the way I think about it. Money is kind of out there, right? And it's always looking at me. It's like, yeah, okay, what are you saying about me? How are you using me? Are we going to be partners or am I going to be your enemy, right? And it's always there having this like inner dialogue with me. And my job over the years has been to try and get money to be a partner with me and less of an adversary. And so if you take the tiny little step maybe and say to one of your friends, I'm making a more intentional choice with my money, maybe money can feel a little bit more like a partnership for you. And less like that bad angel sitting over your shoulder. So just food for thought. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was fun to talk about this topic. I don't often do topics that are, you know, very popular topics because I'm sure when I'm recording this episode, this idea of loud budgeting, probably nobody's talking about it anymore. But I thought that this was a fun one and just something for you to think about how you might infuse into your own money practice. As always, you can head to the links for all the show notes to everything that I talked about in this episode, as well as our sponsors who make this show possible. Hey, and if you could do me a favor, I'd really appreciate it if you could pop over to whatever podcast app you're listening to this episode in right now and leave us a review for the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new one.